Pleasure to be here, and I would like to thank organizers, especially Spiro, for invitation and for giving a chance to speak here. So, as you see, I will talk about curvature flows in complex geometry, and I will discuss two. I guess I have to look at the screen. So, discuss two curvature flows in complex geometry. First is Cayley-Ricci flow, which actually we know a lot. And second is called a Poiré closed flow for Hermitian matrix. So this is in the second part is all joined with Jeff Schultz. So for the second flow is rather new. And so I just show you some results. And hopefully, certainly that's what we hope and to prove all the things we knew for about Cayley-Ricci flow. So first, let me start with the Cayley case. So for simplicity, we always assume a manifold is a compact Cayley manifold. So for example, it's a projective algebraic manifold. And G is a Cayley metric in the first part. So with a Cayley form, I mean, so far, even Hermitian metric has a Cayley form. So in local coordinates, this metric is given by a Hermitian positive metric value function. And then the Cayley form can be written as this. And so as I said, this is true for any Hermitian metrics. And but this last line is really characterized what G being a Cayley metric for. So the lambda I need this to be closed. So this closed condition makes things make a lot of things easier because locally this just says implies locally implies this Gij is always So basically, Cayley metric locally is given by one function. So because of this, many things can be done in a much easier way. For example, proving solving Einstein equation in the Cayley case and so on. So the Ricci flow was introduced by Richard Hamilton in the early 80s. It preserved a Cayley-Ricci condition. So that is, if a GT if a GT is a solution of a Ricci flow, if a initial metric is a Cayley, then so is every GT along the flow. So because of this, we just call it Cayley-Ricci flow. But it's actually just a Ricci flow confined to a Cayley matrix, restricted to a Cayley matrix, and. Together with my collaborators, like Jiang Song and so on, we have an ongoing project on the Cayley-Ricci flow. So basically, there are two steps. There are two groups of problems. One is we want to construct a global solution with surgery. So this is probably partly inspired by the work on the three manifolds. So we namely want to construct a solution in some sense for all the time. And the second part is ensure such a solution, such a global solution after certain normalization and converges to a canonical metric. So this canonical metric is unique, should be independent of choice of initial metric and the canonical metric may not be on the original manifold, but it's on the so-called canonical model. Okay, so such ones include the Cayley-Einstein metrics, but not in high dimensions. There you might have some other cases. And the second question, in some sense, is solved. The second step is solved, as I will tell you in the end. But I want to show you any details. So let me start with the first first big problem. So first we have a sharp local existence theorem. And so this is not a terrible, it's not a very difficult theorem, but it has a very clean statement. It also it shows you in the Keller case, the result is much sharper. It's much cleaner than in the general Ricci flow case. So namely, this result says the Keller Ricci flow has a unique maximized solution, GT, up to some time, capital T. But capital T is it can be determined by this cohomological condition here. Namely, this cohomological class is a Keller class. So that means it can be represented by some positive form. In general, or in the algebraic case, that means simply there are some numerical criterion for this class to be Keller. Okay. So anyway, this is a rather algebraic condition, and it's much easier to check. So this is in contrast to a real case, because the real case this long-standing problem of a long-standing result of. A well-known result of Richard Hamilton says you can solve the Ricci flow up to some time until curvature blows up. Okay. So this theorem was proved in many cases before. The first was studied by Carl in 1986. He considered the case of when the manifold has the definite first term class and this is proportional to Keller class. And this is the first existence theorem on the Keller-Ricci flow. And then Tsuji first studied the case when the initial Keller class is different from a first term class. It's not proportional first term class. And also a similar result was independently proved by Caccini and Naleu. Assuming certain technical assumptions, so you have you can solve the Ricci flow up to a certain time, and in general this maximum time is finite. For example, in the Kaus case, if you assume a first term class is positive multiple of this initial Keller class, then the GT actually shrinks to a point at this capital time. Okay, this time capital T is 1. So to construct a global solution with surgery, I guess this we need to analyze GT when T tends to this capital T. So in general, the behavior of GT a bit complicated. For example, as we just even saw it here, the GT can make collapse to a low dimensional variety, even to a point, right? Actually, to a point is not too bad, because the point has no structure, I mean, has a simple structure. So anyway, we need to consider how to continue the Ricci flow on such a variety. So this is the first guess, or speculation. When I put speculation, that means it's not fully proved. But in all these conjectures, we do know a lot of cases. There are many cases we can prove it. So first conjecture is as T goes to capital T, when the capital T is finite, this Keller-Ricci flow converges to a length space in the Gromov-Hausdorff topology, and satisfying the following things. So this is a variety. And X is a variety, and there's a vibration of M over X, such that the generical fibers being a Fano manifold. What is Fano manifold here means it's like S2, like high dimensional version of S2. So namely, the first term class is positive. First term class is positive. So finite time collapsing only occur along the positive curved things. Okay. So secondly, about the metric. The DT, the second part about the metric, the distance function here is given by smooth Keller metric on this open dense set of this open dense part of this, such that the convergence of this to that is actually in the smooth topology. Okay. This is typical in the in the geometry or geometric analysis, you do expect the convergence is nice outside the closed subset. Okay, closed subset. And the dimension of this subset usually is determined by certain scaling properties. Okay, a priority. I mean, you can guess, but to prove it's a different thing. So there are a lot of partial results supporting this, and I will mention a few of them. For example, the previous things can be proved for any dimensions of any projective manifolds of a general type. So that's probably over 90% of varieties. But only things in the proof we used some result, deep results from algebraic geometry. So hopefully eventually we can just use the purely analytic techniques. So there are a lot of supporting evidence. So there are some simpler ones. For example, we proved this convergence to this is always true, convergence to a current with a continuous local potential. And if you assume this non-collapsing, so this condition basically says it's a volume at finite singular time, then the GT actually converges to a unique smooth metric outside subvariety. So what I said, I speculated in the previous conjecture is indeed true if in the non-collapsing case. Okay, and for example, if M has a so-called non-negative Kodaira dimension, then all this condition is always true for any finite time. Okay, this is thing. Easy fact from a definition of Kodaira dimension. Okay, so if M is a projective manifold, we can also have tell you what I said before about the first part is also true. Maybe I just remind you first part is the first part about space. Okay, about space. So for example, there is a result of Kawamada. If the initial metric is rational and the manifold is projective, then at a singular time, finite singular time, this limit of Keller class is semi-ample. That means it's semi-positive. So in particular, that implies. So maybe I didn't give you a definition. I haven't given you a definition. Let's forget about definition. Let's just say the consequence of this is. There is a holomorphic map from your manifold onto this X, okay, onto some varieties, and such that this pullback of this is given by this class, and also the generic fibers are Fanon manifolds. Okay, that's an easy consequence. So if you assume some known results from algebraic geometry, this is indeed. They should be the case. Okay. So the following conjecture how to extend the rich flow across T. What we expect is the following: there is a resolution. So we have this. So in the first conjecture, we say it's when you come to a. Suppose you start from M, T zero, then you go flow. So this is at the time T equal to zero. So then you go to this cap t equal to time t. So this is, so you get, so m of this goes to collapse to contract something. Okay, sometimes contract the family of a fellow varieties, or sometimes simply contract some fellow, some positive things. Okay, so then these things are usually singular. And you don't expect to continue the things. So this is GT. GT usually is a pullback of something from X, as we. But this one is usually is very singular. And you cannot do analysis. You cannot run the rich flow on that. So this is what we expect. So we basically expect there's a flip. The property of that is specified in these three sentences. So I want to have M prime, okay, And then you, this is pi prime, and this is g of, pi prime star of gx. Then you continue the flow. So this is still at time t, and you continue the flow. Okay. So m prime is somehow is a resolution of x, but it has to resolve in a different way. Okay. So this is second is a key property. Without the second property, of course, your original x satisfies that condition. Your original x satisfies first and the second, first and the third. But a second condition is not satisfied by original manifold. So that's what you what we need for this new one. So M1 is just M prime here. Okay, in the M prime on the blackboard, same as M1 there. Okay. So this is basically a flip. As I said, if assuming, so maybe I go on. So the both conjecture and two have been verified for complex surfaces by purely analytic methods. And so that's good. That's actually was done a while ago. So, and the projective variety, also for projective variety of general type, as I said, but this we need to use some results from algebraic geometry. So that was done in my joint work with Jiang Song. So assuming your first two conjectures, as I said, is indeed these two hold for many varieties, at least if you assume these things for algebraic geometry. So we need to study how the rich flow extends across T. So namely, what I need is need to study, suppose I have this this thing here, if I have such a resolution, which might be singular, okay, and but singularity is not that bad. It's not bad. So you can all formulate in term all these properties like in terms of integrability conditions. For example, this one is essentially say so certain volume form. The volume form is L1, is LP bounded for certain p bigger than one. Okay. So anyway, and those assumptions for M1, and then you want to continue the flow. So you want to continue the flow, namely you want to solve the Ricci flow, a Keller Ricci flow, with this as the initial value. This is an analytic problem, right? This is an analytic problem, namely you want to study a local existence, or you want to extend my previous theorem with Zhang to a case where the initial value is only weak, is might be singular, or is not even in the metric in general. Even the space is smooth, a priori we don't even know this is metric. Okay, it's a metric only outside the, maybe outside the subvariety. Okay, so but this was done in my joint work with Jiang Song. It's going to be published. Okay, so anyway, so with these things, we can continue the Keller Ricci flow. And M1, like I said here. So then until you run the second time, you get the singularities. Again, that's a cohomological condition. So, and you keep doing this. So eventually you will arrive at certain things. Let's say on each interval, you have a regular solution of Ricci flow. But I should say MI may not be smooth. So this is why I say it's I skip that. It's you can justify. That's in my work with Jiang Song. So then surgery time, at TI is, or each of the TI is a surgery time, at each surgery time, the space before the surgery and the space after surgery are related this way, That's, yes? You mean the surgery process? It should be unique. Because actually this metric, these two metrics, or this space actually is only different on the, at least let's say in non-collapsing case. Now, if they have the same dimension, they actually same outside subvarieties. So. So these two metric space, you take out some small set, they actually coincide. So you should, you know, you are solving an equation. If they coincide on the on the open set, they should coincide everywhere. So once I coincide everywhere, it means on this side, because this on this side, because if you have two solutions, and this supposed to have a initial same initial value on the certain on the open dense part. Okay. Is that okay? So anyway, so this is a definition basically. It's based on what we understand, and so then of course this is a conjecture, and this one again we can check the for many cases, like the projective metric for general type or for surfaces, so I say it's only need finite many surgeries. Okay, so this is in the dimension three, even the Perelman case is not, I guess it's not. Completely clear yet, but there is a recent work by Richard Baumler, so which may give you this at least for many cases, for most of three manifolds. But so then after this, you might have two cases. One is this after finite man surgery, things collapse to a point. So this then we expect M to be a fellow like manifold. So this is basically rational type. Okay? Because each time you have a finite, you have a singular time, because there's some positivity in the first term class. And if you contract everything, this should be like after five many times, this should be a fellow like things. And certainly in general it may not be fellow. But anyway, if M is a fellow manifold, GT becomes extinct at finite time. And Jiang Song actually checked this. So then if above MN exists, it's not it's not a point. Then by the things we prove, namely this solving a rich flow with weak initial data, then we know we get a global solution for that time on. So consequently, there's a global solution with surgery from initial time. So next, we need to study what is the limit of this as t goes to infinity, and which I'm not going to tell you. I just tell you what we expect. Expect we converge to a canonical metric on the canonical model after certain normalization. So there are a few cases. So one case is like a general type. So then you actually expect this limit goes to a Kelly-Einstein matrix. And there are some degenerate cases, namely for example, for manifold this type, if M is, for example, let's say MN, if M, say, is some other manifold crossed with T1C, so then at the time infinity, this should be collapsed. Two things. You collapse at finite time positive things, at time infinity is flat things, rich flat things. Okay. So then the eventual canonical metric should be on this space. On this space. Okay. And we do have models. All these models are there. To save time, I will skip that. So because this step is at least we know the limit. We know limit. We know the C11 convergence outside singular point, outside singular vibrations. So of course there are still many things to one can try. For example, you can study how GT converges to a canonical metric, and specifically in what topology? Okay. So in this case, we know it's the C11 because this is a trivial vibration. But in general, if a vibration is not trivial, there might be some singular fibers. Then away from singular fibers, we know it's a C11, C2, C11 convergence. But near the singular fibers, what's the behavior of that? And even in this case, the convergence may be smoother. It's more than C11. For example, whether one can extend the Clabbe's C theory estimate in the degenerate cases. So it's not quite clear. So, but I want to stop here. Any questions for Keller rich flow? Okay. So all this, in short, I want to say it's if you in a rich flow is a natural evolution process. So if you start with any metric, no matter maybe different people start at different metrics, in the end, you always come to these canonical structures, canonical unique, which is independent of initial, and the choice of initial metrics, and in the process you may need to experience some surgeries. Okay. So next I want to talk about the second flow. So it's called I consider a class of manifolds. I guess in the first talk this morning it says it's a strong SKT, Keller matrix with strong torsion, and I guess it seems to be the same thing, I think. So anyway, let me just stick by this terminology called poorly closed. I say M is a complex manifold, such that G is a Hermitian metric with a Keller form. Then I call the metric is poorly closed, and if you have this condition. So first, as I said, you have this Gottschalk theorem, which implies that a complex surface always have a poorly closed matrix. So we came to this is because some motivations we are mentioning the end. Okay. So here is a flow at the beginning. This is I follow a little bit the canonical order. So at the beginning we just want to find some evolution, some curvature flow, which preserve this almost poorly closed structures. Actually, maybe I should do a stop a little bit. Say, I think there are many there are examples which are poorly closed, which are not Keller, because for example, even for complex surfaces, right? But actually, there is a class of a manifold which, from all this talk in the morning, maybe I still ask the people here. I think I don't know. So if I give a complex manifold, so I guess I have a Hermitian metric, right? And if it, so this is compatible, say with a complex structure. So and the d omega is closed, then this is the Keller. But you can loosen up this, can relax this assumption a little bit. I call the Hermitian symplectic. So that means an omega may not be compatible with G is still a Hermitian. It's integrable. And d omega is closed, so namely this symplectic. But I only need the one part of this is positive. Okay. But omega 2 may have a 2-0. And this may not be 0. I don't know. Okay. At least you can certainly construct a matrix of this type. So in dimension 2, so this certainly implies poorly closed. It's easy to see. So lambda given by omega 1-1. Okay. So and one can check if for n equal 2 complex dimension and the Hermitian symplectic imply Keller. That means if a surface has such a structure, then it also has a Keller structure. I guess you can just run all the surfaces you can have. Okay. So but I don't know any example ECL, which is not Taylor. Not Taylor. So I don't know any example. I suspect there's always such an example, but I don't have an example. So maybe some people know it here. Okay. So this is a class of manifolds supposed to be a certainly has a stronger condition than being pluriclosed. Okay. But I don't know whether it's actually stronger than a Keller. So anyway, I have this this flow, and it's clearly from here it's a preserved DD bar closed, because if you plus DD bar operator on the right hand side is zero. The only thing is less obvious is whether this is a parabolic flow. Okay. And you can do that directly, and or you can try to rewrite the flow in some other forms. So one other form I use is in terms of so-called chain connection. So then the dg dt equal to a minus s plus q. So s is like a rich curvature form of this chain connection. So from a expression of a curvature omega, you can immediately see this is the s operator is just a Laplacian of a metric tensor. So and the q is only depends on torsion. So it's only depends on the first derivative of g. So clearly this shows this is a parabolic flow. This is a parabolic flow. So from this version, you can easily see this is a parabolic. But it's less obvious, see this preserve a pretty close condition. Okay. But it does, because these two actually are same. Right? So the proof is by straightforward computations. So there's another formulation which turns out to be seems to fit well in other things, and also fits well in this morning's talk. So the second is the terms called a Bismuth connection, and so recall you can have a Bismuth connection which is characterized by a Hermitian, it's a Hermitian connection which is characterized by the fact that torsion is a three form. Torsion is purely anti-symmetric. Okay, so explicitly that's given by this. The d here is a Navicevita connection. Omega is a Keller form. Omega is a Keller form. Okay, is even if it's not close, we still call it a Keller form. So let p be a chain form, namely the curvature form of like Ricci form. I should probably say Ricci form of this connection. So namely, precisely this given by this chess here. Omega here now is the curvature of this Bismuth connection. So by this time, the chain connection is the P, corresponding P for chain connection is the 1-1 type. But this time, for Bismuth connection, P is not a pure type. So P has a 2-0 and plus a 1-1 and plus 0-2. So then the pre-closed flow has a particular simple expression in terms of this Bismuth connection. It's simply you evolve a matrix along the 1-1 part of rich curvature of Bismuth connection. So the torsion of H is, as I said, is a three form. That's a characterization of this particular connection. Moreover, G is moreover from how we define torsion, we can see G is pretty close if and only if H is closed. It's a closed form, as a three form is closed. So using this fact and through direct computations, we can rewrite this flow in the previous flow in a different form. But this form is a bit different from previous formulations, because in the previous formulation we allow we fix the complex structure, we just only change a Keller form. But in this new formulation, we allow the complex structure changes, so to evolve. So So that GT is a solution pre-closed flow. And then we define this vector field in terms of this Keller form and at the joint operator with respect to evolving matrix. So let phi t be an integral curve. So then we change a metric and change a complex structure, okay, by using a phi t, okay, and this time j bar t is varies, depends on time. So then through a direct computation, though it's a bit bit messy. So in the end, you get this evolution on the GT, G bar is given by Ricci flow coupled with this this field, coupled with this, they actually called B, some people remember the B field. So it's a closed three form. And Ricci, and also you have a evolution on the J bar, this should be J bar here, sorry. And so the J bar is first this Laplacian depends on GT. And the Ricci minus means 0, 2, and 2, 0, and 0, 2 part of Ricci curvature. And again, the Q bar is a quadratic function of DJ bar, okay, DJ bar. And this lipid, they involve a few terms. And all others are rather simple, okay. And what's a good thing is you can check if you have. Of course, here is I derived this from the solution of a pre-closed flow defined before. But once we arrived at this, we can just look at this equation, forget where it comes from, and you can check this actually parabolic flow. Okay, so it's a bit strange because these both things involve a second derivative thing, but they seem to be crucial. If you just see a Laplacian, it's not quite, if you forget this term, it's not quite parabolic, because even though it looks Laplacian, but this Laplacian also depends on a metric. It's also involved a second derivative of things. A metric may also somehow independent of J. So anyway, why I say it's parabolic, it means parabolic with modular diffeomorphism. So it's like in the Ricci flow case. Okay. So this is a parabolic flow, modular diffeomorphisms, and it preserves a Hermitian property. Okay. So now you can just look at this flow, forget where it comes from. Okay. The only thing I derive this flow based on what I know before. Okay. Otherwise, you may not be able to get a flow with all nice properties. So once I get these nice properties, I know this this flow preserves a Hermitian property. Namely, if you start with Hermitian matrix, it will continue. It's the solution will stay the Hermitian matrix. And also, if you know initial data to be a poorly closed, so does everyone along the flow. So if you don't know how you prove is analogous to Ricci flow case, you look at the pre-closed condition, you derive evolution equation on that, you check that there's a self-contained equation on the and the dd bar omega. So then you prove is if initial is zero, then it's always zero by maximum principle. Okay, just like how you prove a Ricci flow can preserve a Keplerian condition at least for one proof. Okay, so. Secondly, also this new formulation relates a pre-closed flow towards this called B-field renormalization group flow. And this allows us to have to see this is actually a gradient flow. Okay. So a new formulation, before I say that, maybe I say new formulation also provides a new tool studying a generalized Keller manifold. So generalized Keller manifold is a Riemannian metric with two compatible complex structures. Of course, they include the Keller ones, but Keller ones already you have a Ricci flow. So let's assume this is not Keller ones. So such that the corresponding torsion coincide. So torsion coincide. Actually, coincide is the upside sign. We have upside sign. Okay. So So I shouldn't say coincide means this have opposite sign. Actually, I should put a plus here. So then poorly closed the flow preserve generalized scalar structure. So to see this, you only need to compute the evolution equation, no S here, on a, I guess it's a system. So it's a, so on a H plus H minus, I'm sorry, for it should be plus, okay, along the poorly closed flow, then apply maximum principle. So if you compute the evolution equation, you found that there is a self-contained equation, H plus. Maybe I write down. Okay. So you look at this quantity. So you compute this. And this depends on T. Okay, so you get some low order terms, but which only involve this. Okay. So then you can apply maximum principle. If initially it's a zero, then it's identical to zero. So this that says that this breeze flow preserve a generalized scalar structure. Okay. So also it's if a GT is a solution of a bulk flow, then this solves a renormalization group flow for this. So then this. And this flow was studied before by physicists. So here is Laplace-Bachomi, Laplacian, just like Cauchy-Laplacian here. So, and it's also proved by physicists, this flow is a gradient flow of a following functional. That's very similar to analogous to this Perelman functional. So except in the rich flow case, you don't have this term. Okay, So as a consequence, we know that this functional increases along the pre-closed flow. Okay. I should say, if you just look at this flow does not tell you directly how this complex structure evolves. You have to find the right evolution equation for almost complex structures. Then you can see this go back to a pre-closed. You can recover poorly closed flow by this flow, and if the initial metric is poorly closed. So actually it took us a long time to try to figure out what the functional is, and in the end we get some functional, but not by direct computation. If you, I think what we did at the beginning was not very good, is because we fixed the complex structure, try to find the function, which was not as it stands now, it's not the smartest way to do things. So we have also developed analytic theory for poorly closed flow. For example, high order derivative estimates and the curvature estimates. So those are very just identical to what was done in the Ricci flow. Okay. And it's nothing difficult, except you have more terms to compute and more pages to write the equations. So I certainly want to write here. And it's still possible. Maybe one can write the equation in a more, it's nicer form. And right now we just do by brute force, the computer terms. And which not affect to analytic theory, but in the long run, maybe it's still interesting to write the evolution equation on the curvature or evolution equation on the torsion in terms of, in the more nice, in a cleaner way, much cleaner way. Okay. So anyway, so in this theorem, we have one consequence of this is the so-called curvature estimate. If we assume this lambda is a Chern connection, and H is the torsion of a Chern connection, then the GT exists on a maximum time interval if this is preserved. Okay, For rich flow case, for rich flow case, you don't have H because rich flow, there's no torsion. Then you just become a curvature blows up. That's, that exactly recovers this Hamilton theorem for rich flow. Okay. And if angle two, actually we can do better. We can do better. Namely, you can drop the dependence on torsion. As long as the chain connection is bounded, then you don't have a finite time singularity. You can extend the flow. So to prove regularity theorem, as I said, we basically compute induced evolution equations for curvature and the torsion H for chain connection and apply maximum principle. The arguments I said is identical to those for rich flow. So in the case of angle two, we had a better result. Why is that? Because we can have a better equation on the evolution. On a better evolution equation on the torsion. So this is what we get on torsion. Possibly, the similar equation also true for any dimensions. Okay? But there are some algebra involved. So in order to get this term, we used so far we used an angle two case. But maybe similar thing is also holds for high dimensions. So that's a problem maybe for you. So once we have an equation of this type, then we know once the curvature, this C depends on curvature. Once curvature is bounded, we can bound the torsion. So that's why we can remove the torsion, dependence on the torsion from this theorem. So we also later on in terms of Bismuth collection, we have a theorem in terms of Bismuth. Curvature Bismuth connection, as you see, is cleaner. So in particular, we know if a curvature of a Bismuth connection stay bounded, you can extend the flow. You can extend the flow. So this is analogous to a result of Natasha for rich flow. So in her case here, she assumed that if a rich curvature bounded, then there's no finite time singularities. So we also try to, what's the difficulty in this general flow case? Is because, so we have this pretty closed flow. And we have a Keller-Risch flow. So we certainly know a lot more here. That's because this time the flow can be reduced to scalar flow. So namely, because the metric, that's because in the Keller case, locally, the metric can be written in terms of functions. And certainly, this is not true here, right? So this is no such a thing here. Okay? It's without this Kellerian condition, you cannot reduce to a scalar equation. But still, we hope to do some reduction, certainly. So we're only partly successful. So for example, we find a scalar. Suppose I solve a scalar equation this way. Okay. Omega tilde actually I'm a bit confused. I think here is omega tilde. Okay, sorry. And so then we prove if both phi and h is the torsion are bounded on time, then the solution extends smoothly past the time. We hope we can, hopefully, if one can drop the torsion, like, for example, in two-dimensional case, then at least you can also get the criterion for in terms of scalars. Okay. So the proof basically is analogous to the proof, Kauss proof of Calabi-Yau theorem. So Keller-Risch flow case, what's how you do it? So you first start to Laplace, I mean, I guess, no, not first. Let's see. You do a Laplacian estimate. So you bound the Laplace in terms of C0 norm of U, error-hitting norm U. And you can also do a similar thing here, except the computation are more complicated. So in terms of this phi, what I defined before, and the volume form. Okay, so then you can, one can also bound the volume form in the calorific flow case, in the calorific flow case by maximum principle, which is simply dudt. And so this time you bound in terms of torsion. That's the part when the torsion comes in. Okay. So this is just dudt. In Keller case, this volume form, ratio of volume form is just dudt. Okay, just the time derivative of potential functions. So hopefully here is also, we hopefully eventually also use to bound this which independent of h. Okay, hopefully. Then you have a Calabi's estimate for solid derivative. Okay, once you have those two, of course, all this constant depends on this u here. Okay, so then you can do similarly. So difference of this is given by solid derivative. So this Calabi's solid derivative can be extended. Okay, and this dependence is because of this dependence here. Okay, so then you do a high order estimate, which is just a shorter estimate. And this has no difference. There's no difference between the two flows. Okay? You can always have a shorter estimate. So then in the Keller-Ricci flow case, you can use a Moser iteration to bound the, or use a maximum principle, depends on which case you are considering. In the Calabi-Yau case, it's a Moser iteration. You can use the, you can get the U bound, the bound on the U itself. So this time you want to bound the phi here, and even I forget h, so we don't have it. That's why I make assumption here on the phi. Okay, and that's because we haven't been able to reduce this flow completely to a scalar flow, and I should say mention here it's a And there are a lot of studies on the Mong-Shanpei equation type equation, such as background metric on the Hermitian manifolds. This is a little bit different from here. So a lot of this Calabi-Yau, a lot of these results for Calabi-Yau for Keller-Ricci flow can be proved without assuming a background metric closed. Okay. But however, that flow is not this flow here. So because just changing by this in the Hermitian case, does not clearly have a geometric meaning. If you start with this, this may not be closed. You can still study this flow, U. So it's just like scalar reduction of a Keller-Ricci flow. So in the Keller case, this is closed. But even not closed, you can study this flow. Okay. And you can, there are a lot of wonderful estimators and people found, which do not depend on this condition here. So some of these estimators actually known for a long time. So this does not apply to this situation here. And as I said, this is it's not clear there's a geometric meaning of this. Okay. But on the other hand, this as I assured you on the previous transparencies, this pre-closed flow has a close relation to preserve a geometric structure, preserve certain natural geometric structures, right? So then life might become a little bit harder than this. So anyway, but we do expect this pre-closed flow shares the same property as the Keller-Ricci flow, as the Keller-Ricci flow had. And for example, we can also make a conjecture about the sharp local existence. Okay. So previously I said it's a parabolic flow. You have a local time, local existence, and then the flow K can solve up to time when the curvature blows up. Okay. But that curvature blow up is a pointwise condition, and it's not checkable. Okay, it's not checkable. So we hope it's like Keller case. We want to have some cohomological condition which you can check, some algebraic condition you can check. So that's why we made this conjecture. Actually, no, this efforts is also towards try to do this, but without success yet. Okay, to confess. Okay, so anyway, that was attempt about this. So namely, we can define this cohomological group, which is take any 1-1 form, and DD bar closed, and the modular these kind of forms. Oh, of course, this form are DD bar closed. And analogous to a Keller cone, we define this cone such that this is a Keller this is class in this cohomology class, cohomology class in this group, and we assume for there is some representative which is positive, just like in the definition of Keller cone. Okay, so conjecture is the pre-closed flow has a solution up to this time. And clearly, you cannot solve the pre-closed flow beyond this time, because if you can solve the flow, the corresponding class. So if you can solve this pre-closed flow, if you have a solution here, of course, this is in the this is contained in this P, right? It's clear. So definitely, maximum time is less equal to T, capital T here. But the point is, in the essence of conjecture is you want to solve this up to this T. Okay. It's true for Keller, but I don't know in general. Okay. And this pretty closed cone can be characterized to tell you and to give you a to emphasize, to motivate a little bit more, I can say based on some previous work, this is not, I should say this proof, this is based on a lot of previous works. Okay, it's essentially some, we made observation here. So you say if M is a complex non-Keller surface, and phi is 1-1 to be pretty close, then this inside here, in this positive cone, if and only if, you only need to check two conditions. And one is, this is easy to condition. Basically, you check there's at least one integral is positive, which, as you imagine, shouldn't be a difficult thing to check. And second is you have to be positive along every holomorphic curve. That certainly is necessary. So again, in since we are considering non-Keller case, and in many non-Keller cases, this there's no holomorphic curve. So then this condition is automatically true. So what I want to tell you here is convince you here is easier. It's not that difficult to check a class is in this cone here. Okay. So my time is up. So let's say this is original motivation. We came to study this flow. So we want to study this class of complex surfaces, which are non-Keller, and those are mysterious surfaces. So those surfaces I have characterized by following things. The full is non-Keller. The full Spitti number is 1, and B2 plus is 0, and the B2 is positive. Okay. There's also a case when the B2 is 0. That was done by the first claim by Bogomolov and proved by Zhong Li and Yao and Zhen. Okay. So by using a Yang-Mills things. And so in a positive case, So anyway, there are, I just claim two facts. So this proved by complex geometers. So every known example arises by blowing up a Hopf surface m times, but then change your complex structure. So in particular, it's always different. For all these known examples of class 7 surfaces are diffeomorphic to this. Okay. Now conjecturally, those examples are all. Okay. And all is up to deformations, after deformations. So indeed, by result of this Dolarski and so on, so if a surface is class 7 plus and contains the B2 rational curves, then it's of a long type. It's a long type. So there are many results, and it's actually widely studied, but it's not like mainstream in complex geometry. But I actually like it a lot since I was a student. So here is basically says you, in order to classify this, you really want to find the holomorphic curve on such a surface. It's non-algebraic, so it's not guaranteed you have a complex curve. So at least we observed the existence conjecture. That what I mean is that sharp existence conjecture implies a long time existence of a pretty closed flow on class 7 surface. And it implies existence of curve on those surfaces. So for example, using this, we can give, of course, assume this conjecture, one can reprove this theorem of Telemann, and which was only published recently. When the B2 is 1, he classified this. He used the gauge theory again. And but I think this flow approach, if you have this sharp existence theorem, you can actually do all of them. Okay? You can do all of them. And that's because we actually classify all the static solutions for pretty closed flow and Hermitian flow manifolds. So in particular, we have proved that there are no such a static matrix on any class 7 plus surfaces. So that means in the limit, if you have a global existence, have a limit, they have to contract all the holomorphic curves. So give you an orbifold, possible orbifold, with the B2 plus equal to 0. Then you can just, there is a version of, there's orbifold version of this Borkum law of Li and Yao and Zheng theorem, which tells you you can classify them. So anyway, since this conjecture is out of reach, there's no proof here yet. But at least it's an interesting flow. Thank you. Yes, and this for fully closed does not, yeah, because it's exact, so yeah, right, so yeah, so since it's closed, so yes, right, this is DD star of H. I actually, frankly speaking, I haven't come to this because to do a surgery in general yet. In a complex case, for fully closed, yes, it's possible when you have this surgery, this H may change. So for complex surface, I know it's for complex Keller surface, only this process is rather easier. You basically just contract the rational curves of self in the second number minus 1. Okay, so I think for pre-closed, for complex surface also like that. So that and I don't know, it's seems to be H, you change H somehow just in relating to test might holomorphic. It's a blowdown. It's a blowdown, yeah. Actually, it does not, yes. It does not change H3 because you blow down S2 and it does not change. By high dimension, and in high dimension, maybe it does not change either because all these are caused by this rush like extremal curves, which is like S2 or manifold of Fellow type, which is always simply connected. And, but it's hard to say, H3 is hard to say. Yeah, but I somehow don't, maybe there's a good chance they don't change at all. Yeah, but you said possible you don't have a zero class. So this may not be in the same. What I hear is the metric may not be, this kind of metric may not be like a deformation of this, right? So you have a Hermitian syntax structure here, but you might have a different cohomology class, which. Yes. Yeah, but it's a bit hard to say because in the long time you also might have contracting things or you go to even lower dimensional things, and also the things I start here maybe have a long trivial H torsion class, but here it's a. Say it again, sorry. Yeah, H, yeah. But anyway, if one can prove, I think if one can say this already imply that, that's also wonderful. But I don't know. Maybe there are some one can do some of this cohomology argument to see this, and if you're assuming flow all the way flow to a good thing, yeah. But I also worried even flow has a global solution in a limit, it might contract the family of things go to low time. So this vibration structure. So at least I don't know.